and welcome to this week's message from Ed and Michelle Carter, senior pastors of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
So we're just going to take just a few minutes just to hopefully inspire you and help you see that God, as we give ourselves to him, wants to take hold of what you have and what you bring, use it to do something amazing in other people's lives. And on the other side of that, as you do that, I want you to know that God is no man's debtor. As you give your life, he has promised to pour good things into your life as well. And for us, as we think, as we kind of share a little bit, as we dream about what we're about to invest in, that you may know that, because we follow and serve a big God, and he has a huge heart for you, but a huge heart for the whole world, for the whole world. And the Bible teaches us, he tells us that God actually longs to gather not just us or our friends or our neighbors or just maybe our areas or our nation, but if he could, the whole world back under his protection and back under his blessing, and really, as it were, to pour his love into every individual and welcome them into his family.
Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they may have life, and life to the full. And that's the reason that we are here this morning. It's the reason that if you are a Christian, you're not in heaven right now. Because, you know, we could meet Jesus and have our lives changed, and then God could just take us into heaven. And if we did that, there would be nobody to tell your friends and your neighbors. There'd be nobody to tell the people around you in the world about the incredible love of Jesus. And so we're here because Jesus promises life and life to the full. John 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, we can hear that and we can take it for granted because we know it to be true. But you know, maybe you're here for the first time this morning and maybe you've never heard that. And that kind of freaks you out a little bit, because if I'm a mum and I've got three children, and if I was to sacrifice any one of them for you, like, that would be pretty full on, right? If you're a parent, you're kind of sat there right now going, yep, Michelle wouldn't do that at all. Because to be honest, it's a big deal, right? But yeah, it rolls off our tongues so easily. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son for you and for me. And so if you're here this morning hearing it for the first time, I'd just love that to ground in your soul this morning and to let you know that there's a God in heaven who loves you so much. He gave his only son because he wants a relationship with you. He wants to give you life now, and he wants to give you a life that is full. And you know what? The rest of us, for the rest of us that kind of know this, we might look around us and we might see people around us and think, yeah, you know, God loves them, but they're doing okay. But you know, in our culture right now, it's like it's good to have a smile on your face and to tell people that you are okay. It's good to have on Instagram, you know, this amazing life that you have, and all people see is actually what looks good on the outside. But you know, the Bible says that Jesus sees right into your soul. He sees right into your soul. And he sees into the souls of your friends and your neighbors and those around that actually we're called to be here for right now. And Mark chapter 2, verse 17 says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. You see, people around you might be struggling with issues of peace. People around you have got stuff going on in their lives at work. They've got stuff going on in family situations. They've got health concerns. You know, people around you, they might be walking around with a smile on their faces. But actually, you know, we're all human. We're all doing life. We've all got our own stuff going on. And, you know, when these things happen, so often the normal distractions in life, the normal things that kind of keep us going on day by day, just they don't really seem relevant anymore. And the people around us need us to speak into their lives that God loves them.
That's right.
That God is here for them, that God has a plan and a purpose for them, that God can come and bring peace into that situation, that where it feels like there's no way, that God can make a way. People need to hear that God can satisfy the longing in their soul. You know, Jesus himself said, I am the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse 35, and he who comes to me will never go hungry. And you know, there's people in your world, there's people in my world who need to know that satisfaction in their soul. They need to have the bread of life, not the natural bread. You know, we all know if we eat a loaf of bread, we're going to be hungry probably about half an hour later, depending on who you are, right? But we know, for some more than others. But when we get the bread of heaven, when we get the bread of life, when we receive the love of God into our souls, the Bible says he satisfies our souls. And as Valley Church, we want to be a church that takes out the bread of life, that helps people to be satisfied in their souls. And Jesus also came that we may have life eternal. You know, the greatest fear of man is death. John 14, verse 2 says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I am going there to prepare a place for you. As Valley Church, that's what we're all about. We're all about taking the love of God. We're all about taking his hope and life to those around us. And if you're here this morning for the first time, that might be just right, what you might need to hear right now. You might just need to know that there is a God who loves you, that he can give you hope and life, that he can help you to actually be salt and light into your situation, into the situations around you, and that actually you can take that salt and light into your family, into your home, into your workplace. So we're called to be a church for the new generation. We're called to create a home for the new generation. We're called to introduce people to God's love. And if you need that this morning at the end, we're going to give you that opportunity to do just that.
Psalm 78, verses 1 to 7, say the following. O my people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, we will tell the next generation. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonder he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established a law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them. Even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children that they would put their trust in God, would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Every church is called to do what Pastor Michelle has just talked about. We are here to tell the world that God loves them and would long to have a relationship with them. And he's done all the work. He has sent Jesus to die for them. And that every church in the land is supposed to be making disciples, as it says in Matthew 28, verse 19, that it's supposed to be witnesses, as Acts 1:8 says, both in Jerusalem, their kind of own town, Judea, the locality, Samaria, the bigger kind of country picture, and even to the ends of the earth. That's right. But each church is called to do a particular thing. And we have, as Pastor Michelle said, we've been called to create a home to empower a new generation. A place where everybody can come and find out they belong and they feel loved and cared for. And if it's your first time in church, we'd love to offer that for you. But more than that, not just a home that's just a nice home, but a home that helps people to be empowered to be all that God has made them to be and created them to do. That's what we want to do. We want to help people to encounter Jesus so that they can be released, so they can be healed, they can be restored, there can be freedom in their life to pursue the dreams that God has put in their heart and life. And we love that. People have been here for a long time. We love the fact that we get to release dreams in each other and do exciting things, adventures for God. A few years ago, Michelle and I and some of the team here released that down and said, well, what might that look like? And I love reading this out. Lancaster guys, I love reading this out. And why? Because we're going to give to this day, many of us give it to everyone, but this day particularly to take some of these things I'm about to talk about forward. So I want to read. For some of you, for the first time, for the rest of us, you've heard this a few times, but it just excites me every time I see it. The church we see. The church we see is a home for all, where people of any generation, age, race, and background are welcomed, valued, and loved. It's a place where each and every person can encounter God and find Jesus as Savior, as Lord, and as friend. Ours is a house of hope where the broken and hurting can find love, healing, and restoration as they fix their eyes on Jesus, as they build their lives on his word, discovering in him amazing grace, complete freedom, and unlimited blessing. The church we see is a place where all people who come are empowered and encouraged to reach their full potential in Christ, causing a generation to rise up, living fully alive and becoming all that God created them to be and purposed them to do. It's a place where dreams are born and fulfilled. We see a place where each one of us grows in our relationship with Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit to reflect more and more his character, gaining a confidence that is born out of an unshakable faith in each and every one of his promises. It's a place where there's a fierce passion, an all-consuming belief that together we can embark on adventures to build the kingdom of God, to transform lives, families, communities, cities, and nations for his glory. The church we see is a place where everybody is released into their God-given leadership, where they are inspired, encouraged, resourced, and released to impact all levels of society. Living a generous life, and therefore giving away that which cannot be kept, to enable others to gain that which cannot be lost. It's a place where the sound of the house is created, championed, and set free to echo around the world. The church we see, the church I hope you see, the church that I hope is in your heart burning out this morning as we come to give not just our money, but our very hearts and souls to Jesus. Again, the church we see is a place of influence so large, its heartbeat is felt across the nations, and yet within it so small that all find a family. This is the church we see. And the heart of the house offering, point of this, you see, if you count Valley Church at home, I suspect you give regularly. It might be weekly or monthly into kind of the ongoing work. But on this day, we kind of put a stake in the ground for our next season and say we are not happy with where we are. We believe there's more to come. We believe in a bigger God, a God that the best is always yet to come. This is a day where we say we are going to invest in that future. In Isaiah 54, verse 2-5, God actually calls the Israelite people to do the same. You see, God has always asked his people to expand his kingdom. It's not a new thing. It's an old thing. It's been going ever since the beginning of time. For the people of God who found him, God calls them. He says, go and make disciples. Go and reach out. Go and be my witnesses. And in Isaiah 5, verse 2, we read how God tried to encourage the Israelites to do it. It says this: enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your curtain wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your maker is your husband. That's the close relationship God has with each one of us. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the one who will save you, who loves you enough to die for you. He is called the God of all the earth. We're about to give, and I'm going to ask Dave and Mel and Michelle to join me in a second. And we're going to hand back to Lancaster in a second. And Andy and Chrissy will jump up there. And we're going to give towards some of the things we've talked about. I don't want to go through the whole list again, but I am super excited about the year of parties. And we're going to create a fund, a pot of money, which every single Connect group, young and old, even the children's one, can apply for to do some crazy things. To invite your world and let the whole church know that they can invite their world into that. And so at least some point every week from our next birthday for a whole year, if you want to go to a party somewhere in Valley Church, you can go. And we did it 7 years ago, and we'll explain why when we come around to it a bit more detail, why we do it every 7 years. But it's such a fun time. And we have, I think, about 26 Connect groups, he said, looking at Joe. 26, it's amazing, 26 Connect groups. So each and every one of those, if you're part of a Connect group, you'll be able to kind of say, can I have a bit of that pot to go and do something? The other thing I'm super excited about is this, the fund for the unknowns. What has God placed on your heart? What has God given you a passion for? Is it something that the church can get behind, that we can say, hey, we think that's an awesome thing. We'd love to get behind that. We'd love to bless you, or maybe even throw not just money, but thing. Is there something in your heart that God's called you that you think God might be calling us as a church to go forward? There'll be a fund for that. We've talked about buildings. I know in Lancaster, you're looking for a building. We're so excited about that. We're trying to get some money together for that. So when that happens, we can get you set up. We want to take this building forward. We're dreaming, and it's great having, isn't this amazing? When we sent Lancaster out about two and a half years ago. Anyway, we kind of gave people from here, so we felt a bit smaller, but look how full it is. God has more than filled every seat that we sent out. God has more than filled that. You see, God is into growth, and we're thinking about multiple services. That's why I built the coffee shop. It's why I built the entrance at the back and that kind of stuff. And we're talking about staffing and all sorts of really cool stuff. And we're always committed in every heart of the house is to put some aside, about a tithe, about 10% of our giving, to invest in other churches, both in this country and around the world. And that's why we always mention the mission work that we get involved in. And many of you guys have been involved into India, to Brazil, to Chile, and wherever else we go, South Africa, wherever else God sends us and calls us to help people. God has called us to enlarge our tents, both here and around the world. And you might be sat there and going, but you know, Pastor Ed, I don't have a lot of spare money. And you probably don't. Most of us spend every penny we have on ourselves and people that we love. We just do. We do it naturally. I could give you another £1,000 a month, and I can guarantee within 2 years you'd still have no money. Because it's the way it works. And God might call you to give something up to give into the kingdom of God. You know, there's a statement in the church we see, we give away that which we cannot keep to give something, to give Jesus to somebody, give them something they cannot lose. But that's scary. Will God bless me? Will he take care of me? The answer is yes. God will always take care of you if you'll sacrifice. If you follow his lead and you sacrifice on his behalf, it could be time. It could be God might call you to give your job up. Some of you might get called into the ministry, full-time working for church or full-time missionary. You know, some of you, God might put in your heart to move countries for him. That's scary. You're not just giving money up, you're giving family and friends, you're giving up a whole stack of things. Because if we're going to enlarge our tents, it's not going to be just about the money, right? It's going to be about everything. And Dave and Mel will tell you the practical details in just a minute or two in Lancaster. Chrissy and Andy will. The practical of how we're going to give. But I want to encourage you, when you take that envelope, one, if this is your home, if you're a brand new visitor, just chill, relax, enjoy, encounter God. That's fine. But if this is your home, fill something in. Give something. Jesus highlighted a widow who gave 2 small copper coins. You might not be able to give much, but give something. The kingdom of God is built on the sacrifice of many, not the sacrifice of the rich or those who can afford it. It's on the many. So give something. Pledge something, but be involved. Allow God's blessing to flow in and through your life. But when you give it, don't just give money. With it, say, God, you have my life. You have my car. You have my house. You have my relationships. Obviously not your husband or wife. That's a done deal, right? You're one. Same with your kids. Can't get rid of your kids. You might want to get rid of your kids, but you can't get rid of your kids. They're yours. Not that I want to get rid of my kids. They're awesome, all of them. Even if that one keeps bashing a leg up. Anyway, but he might come and say, God, you have it. Have it all. You have it all. It's not just, that's why we call it Heart for the House offering. Not offering of money. Because actually God's looking for your heart first. And for your heart, then from that flows out money. So don't be scared. The prophet Isaiah verse says, do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. And you won't suffer disgrace. He said, don't worry that you might, that you might feel like I'm going to be humiliated, or that it might be difficult for me. God knows. God will bless. God will come through. Because God always does. Why? Because God is God. Verse 5, he says, For your maker is your husband. The one who's powerful enough to create you and everything in the world is with you and for you. The Holy One of Israel, your Redeemer. God loves you so much, he would die for you. If somebody would die for you, will he not care for you now that you're alive? Surely he would, right? He just would, right? I never worry about God loving me and caring for me because he died for me. He's demonstrated beyond a doubt that if I will follow him, if I will give my all to him, he will always look after me. Why? He died for me. He paid the ultimate price. It's why over the years that Michelle and I have gone into full-time ministry, we give stupid amounts of money, we do crazy trips. Why? Because we know that in those circumstances we encounter God more than any other time because he's always with us. And he is the God of all the earth, all power and authority is his. So we're going to pray in a second. I'm going to pray and hand back to you guys there in Lancaster. After I finish praying, Chrissy, I'll pray, and then you can jump up, you and Andy. Eternal destinies, souls encountering God for the first time, lives being healed and transformed, is why we do Heart for the House. So we can go and take new territory. Church, if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. If you're a Christian and you love God and God's done stuff in your life, to be able to pass that on. And together as we come together, it's amazing. Well, it is amazing what God's done in 12 years. It really is amazing what God has done in 12 years.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.